Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good afternoon. This is West Side Visions on blogtalkradio.com, and I'm your host, Brother Tony Bullock, and my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock, and ready for another show of West Side Visions.
Yes, into the breach once more we go. And today's message is plain and simple, and it's something that's been in our faces for decades. And quite simply put, it is representation fair for the black residents in Fresno?
Ooh,
now, I know there are a lot of you. Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who believe that because they own homes in certain areas and they can move kind of with freedom in certain spots, that we're free and we're allowed to, you know, do everything everybody else is doing. But are we? Is our reputation the same as others, white folks, Hispanics, Asians, in this city? Do we get the same treatment from City Hall that everybody else gets?
That's a fair question. That is a fair question, especially when you consider the fact that the population of Fresno proper is, for black folks, what, right around 10%, something like that?
Yeah.
So it begs the question, are we fully represented in every aspect of elected government?
You know, and that's one I've been asking myself for a long time, not only being a resident here, but being a resident here and have lived other places and seen other things in other black communities. I always hearken back to how is it certain spots on the west side still look the same today as they did when I was in junior high?
Right, right. That's
everything
a good
that
question.
Were boarded up are still boarded up.
Yes.
While in other parts of the city, you have had housing built, shopping centers built,
mm-hmm.
food places built.
Right.
And we had to raise holy hell just to get the food max that's on Fresno Street.
Right. That Kearney Palms. I believe it took about 20-something years in order to get Kearney Palms. And it's the only major shopping area that we have in Southwest. Pitiful. And you raise a good question, Brother Bullock, because you cannot say that, you know, other areas of the city haven't had challenges. I seem to remember when Southeast Fresno, pardon me, with this large Latino population had a lot of challenges too, but it did not prevent that part of the city from being built up.
No, it did not. No, it did not. They got shopping centers. They got homes, emergency services.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And as you know, for decades, the only two emergency services we had was the fire station on Church and Holly and
right.
The fire station on Fresno Street right by the freeway.
Right. That was it. And now I believe in that Kearney Palm Shopping Center, there is a police substation there.
Yes. They have they definitely have police substation there.
Yeah.
So see, that's always the response to the black neighborhood. Let's add more police.
Right, and that's supposed to solve all our problems. When we know for a fact that usually when police are involved in an overly visual way, that just encourages more problems for black residents. But I digress.
We do, because we know how that goes. We've been here long enough to know that, you know, like my grandmother used to say, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Say it. Yes, indeed.
So
he wasn't wrong.
With that being said, let's jump into it, Sister Reed. Why don't you start us off tonight?
Well, I know that you and I had talked earlier in the week, and we were talking about representation of elected people who are elected here in Fresno. And you made a very good point, Brother Bullock. You made the point that for all the black elected officials that we've had, we've only had one at a time. And the very first person, black person, that got elected to Fresno City Council was Joe Williams, and he got elected in 1977. Now, if I'm remembering it right, this was when Fresno still had at-large elections. And so you didn't necessarily have to live in that part of the city in order to get elected. And I'm trying to remember, maybe some of our callers can help me out with this, but I believe that his district was actually out by Fresno State. It wasn't necessarily on the west side. But Joe Williams had a very long career here in Fresno because he got elected to city council, and he also was the head of the local EOC, Economics Opportunity Commission, here for many years.
Right.
So that was Joe Williams. He was the first person. So we're talking 1977. I mean, for some people, that might seem like a long time ago. I graduated from high school in 1976, so I'm showing my age right there. But to think that in all the years that black people lived in Fresno, this was the first time that we had an elected official on the Fresno City Council. Brother Bull.
Right. Yep, and that was in 77, and then – after that, it took many more years, and then in 1983, Les Kimber got elected.
Right.
And took office, and then he also got, you know, elected back in 1987.
Right.
But
which brought him, so he served until what, 1991?
Uh-huh.
Les Kimber.
And in 1991, Robert Smith came in, and he went from 91 to 94.
Right. And then it was Cynthia Sterling.
Cynthia Sterling behind him, and she went from 2003 to 2011. She had 7 years.
Right, on the council.
And
but previous to that, she had been on the Planning Commission for like 13
right.
years.
She had 13 years on the Planning Commission. And then but, after her was Brother Oliver Baines III.
Right.
And, you
right.
know, he had been on the police force.
For like 11 years before serving
yeah.
on city council. And so he was from 2014 to 2016. And I think he
right.
went on to own his own business. I believe he owns a solar company now. But so think about it, folks. We've only had one black city council member at a time, starting in 1977 and ending in 2016. So how are the issues that are important to black people being presented and listen to at City Hall? The question. That's the real question.
That is the real question. And as I said in earlier shows, you know, now we have a city council that is comprised mainly of Hispanic members who now seem to have this attitude that, you know, if it ain't brown, put it down. You know, they're not listening to all their constituents. You know, if you're not of that heritage, they not listening to you.
Right.
Excuse me.
And there's no issue that exemplifies this more than the changing of the name Kings Canyon Ventura and California Avenue to Cesar Chavez Boulevard. That is the example that jumps to mind right now. And it's unfortunate that it's like that, because a lot of Black people voted for Miguel Arias in order to, you know, for him to get elected to the seat that he holds now in District 3. And, you know, in a city like Fresno, in an area like Fresno County, where you have so much diversity, and that's one thing that so many of us are proud of, that we have the diversity, but diversity should also mean that we're able to work together and empathize with each other about what's important in our cultures. And I just don't
exactly
see that happening right now. I don't see that happening.
That is definitely no longer happening now. And I think back to last week's city council meeting on the 30th. And when the question of the Cesar Chavez Boulevard was brought up, if you notice the way that they let people from the audience speak, they made sure that all of their supporters got to speak at that morning session.
Right.
And one or two people who descended spoke.
Right.
But for the most part, all you heard were people who was in favor of what was going on. Now, from what I understand, in the evening session, there were more people there who was against the renaming. And of course, now in the evening session, television cameras are off. You don't have a full panel there. And I found it very funny that
in the audience, right?
Right. And I found it very funny that Miguel Arias, Chavez, you know, the people who represent the other areas involved were not there for that evening session. They had left.
That is an insult. That is.
They had found somewhere else to be.
That they could not hear the opposition, the other side. I mean, this is supposed to be a democracy, and all voices are supposed to be heard, which prime example of what is going to happen in Southwest Fresno, you know, or in West Fresno, because I know Southwest Fresno is a smaller section, but it points to the fact that Black voices, opposition voices, are being heard, and that means that, you know, we're going to get run over when it comes to decisions being made in West Fresno. A prime example is not just the fact that this satellite campus is going up, but the fact that the other things that are being built and planned around it. How many people in our neighborhoods in West Fresno are going to have a voice to that? And I'm saying that because I was one of those people who attended a lot of those city meetings about the Southwest Pacific Plan, where we could say what we wanted to see in our neighborhoods. And I can tell you quite honestly that a lot of the things that are happening now in West Fresno are not things that people wanted to see happen at those meetings. So
Yeah, I can believe that. As I told you earlier today in a conversation, I was able to speak to someone who, because of their job, has access to certain areas in City Hall. And when they saw me, they let me know that, hey, did you guys know that because of the fact that they're bringing the speed rail through here and they're building that satellite campus over in West Fresno, that all that has been done for the building of lofts and many shopping centers inside those buildings and big parking structures. I say no. No one has brought that to our light yet.
Wow.
You say, and as far as I know, it's a done deal. And as you just spoke out on, I'm quite sure when you attended these meetings, none of that was mentioned.
No, it was not. It was not. So because if they're going to... No, I'm sorry. Please continue, Brother Bullock.
No, I was just getting ready to say, so once again, like you said, your voice is not being heard. It is obvious that current leadership at City Hall and on the City Council has done what they always do in Fresno, make backdoor deals with these builders and get their pump.
Exactly.
Coming to the area.
So it's fair for us to ask these questions because for those of us who know West Fresno, we know where the Hidden Center stands and we know where Computech starts, that campus, and all of that. So I'm wondering, where are they going to build these lofts and these shopping things that are going to go inside these buildings? And I'm saying that because there is a substantial size residential area that is just north of a church right there. And I know that there was some talk about turning church into a four-lane street there. So that means that those houses that are on church are going to get wiped out, as well as Hidden Center. And I know for a fact that that was not talked about in those Southwest Pacific Plan meetings. It was not. And I'm not just saying that. I have friends and neighbors who were at those meetings, people from HEAT, the local group that is mindful of all the building that goes on the west side. None of that was talked about. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think that I am. And I went to many a meeting. They had them at Gaston. They had the meetings at Frank Gage. There were several. And I was at the mall. So it makes you wonder. So these homeowners over here are going to be displaced, Brother Tony. And where are they going to go?
Exactly. I would say get a good look at the west side the way it is right now. Go out there now. Take pictures so that you can remember it, because sooner or later, what you see sitting there now will not be there. See, there was a reason why the city pulled out a Hidden Center the way they did, why all of a sudden certain services that you used to get at the Hidden Center, you stopped getting.
That's right.
They had a game plan. They had a game plan in hand already. Now, as you mentioned, Sister Reed, that housing to the north, I'm quite sure they have looked at it and went, yeah, it's been here for a while, so we can make our move now.
Right.
You know, which always seems to be the deal when it comes to West Fresno. As Miguel Arias so proudly said, we spent $150 million on improvements on the west side, and one of them is the satellite campus. Like I said, he mentioned that like that was some great payoff. Like, you know, we're buying you off to do what we want to do over here. But see, quiet as it's kept, that very satellite campus that they're working on isn't stable. It's sinking into that ground because that ground was once farm area. They didn't have
wow.
sense enough to come in and build up support up under it before they start building a building over there. And now they're having issues.
I'm smiling as I shake my head, Brother Tony, because, you know, it's like our grandmas used to say, God don't like ugly. And I don't wish anything bad on the builders or anything like that. But, you know, this is what happens when you, when the devil is busy and you don't do right by people. And so maybe it's good that the building is being slowed down. I appreciate you sharing this because this is really important, what you're saying.
Well, like you said, God don't like ugly and very little bit of pretty. And,
yes,
you know, like you said earlier, you know, Miguel Arias has that seat. And as you know, he won that seat in the 2022 election where he ran against Larry Burris and Nicholas Wildstar, who also campaigned for mayor in a race in which our own brother, Floyd Harris participated in and finished third. But, you know, and the thing about it is, Miguel Arias sitting there now can hold that seat until 2027, which means he can do a lot of damage.
This is true.
And when I say damage, I'm just being honest because his attitude right now where black residents are concerned is not a conducive one for working with black residents. It's for working against black residents.
This is true. And it's unfortunate that it has to be that way because we need to be working together. Black and brown communities and residents need to be working together for the greater good for all of us. You know, a rising tide lifts all boats, the old saying goes. And so right now, our boat for black residents in Fresno is not being lifted. In fact, you know, we're being weighed down by forces beyond our control. And it's as you said before, Brother Tony, that apparently it seems that because they have the numbers to do these things, they want to go ahead and do it. Well, you know, one thing about living in a democracy is that we have freedom of speech. And that means that we can continue with this hue and cry about what's going on in our communities, regardless of what elected officials say and do. So we are going to continue to beat this drum until, you know, something changes that black residents want to see in Southwest Fresno. We're not going anywhere. We're going to be here.
We ain't going anywhere. You best believe that. And, you know, let's think back. I remember when Sister Yvonne Spence, who was our former city clerk, I remember when she got ousted by the city council, you know, by that vote of 4-3. And Miguel Arias, Nelson Esparza, Esmeralda Sora, and Gary Bluefield were the four who voted against her. But again, three Hispanic members voted against her.
Right.
Okay. And today, I really wonder why. What did she do that was such a big no-no that they felt like they wanted to get rid of this woman? But I believe that somewhere in there, Sister Spence saw something she shouldn't have saw. Or she didn't go along with something that they wanted her to go along with.
Right. Well, the sister had been on that job for a minute, and I don't remember the details, but I do remember it making the news, and I felt the same way that you felt. Like, what is her crime? What is it that she did that they have to do this publicly and get rid of this sister? So Fresno is known for these kind of, you know, shenanigans, political shenanigans. So I'm not surprised
exactly.
that they did it.
She moved here from Austin, Texas in 2012 to take the city clerk position because she had been the the deputy city clerk in Austin, Texas for 10 years. So she
All
came
right.
here in 2012 and took that position, and she was in that position until, what, 2021?
Wow.
Okay.
That's a long time.
So
yeah.
That was a long time. And it never was said why she was terminated, but what
uh-huh.
happened was when she filed suit, the city made a deal with her and paid her $250,000 from the city general fund so that she wouldn't file suit. And when they dismissed her, yeah.
They probably placed a gag order somewhere in there where she couldn't really talk about it.
They did.
Because that's usually how
they
do it.
And when they dismissed her, they also, after paying her $250,000, when she was dismissed, she was dismissed with a severance package that paid her 6 months' salary at $140,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Times six.
That doesn't sound kosher. Wow.
That lets me know some in the water was dirty and didn't continue, and she had seen
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting, Brother Tony, that it's all number one, there are not that many of us in these positions of power. That's number one. And number two is when something like that does happen, you know, it's hard for us to have backup because it just seems as though it's hard to rally our community around somebody when they're in a position like that.
Exactly.
And I wonder if, you know, this sister talked to any black pastors, if she talked to any black leaders like in the NAACP or BAPAC. And I only ask that because these are the times when you need black leadership to step forward and say no. You know, to step forward
right.
and say no. And it doesn't always happen. And I'm using this as a segue, Brother Tony, about the, you know, the editorial that was printed on the front of the most recent California Advocate. But I don't want to jump to that before we're done talking about this sister. It's unfortunate that she had to go through that. She uprooted her life to move from Texas to Fresno, only to come here and be mistreated.
Exactly. And, you know, it is funny you say that, you know, about BAPAC and the black leaders, because just like with this street renaming, where are these people? Where are these groups? Why are you not hearing much from them?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to just take a minute to read our call-in number, Brother Tony. For those of you who may be listening both locally here in Fresno and across the country, if you want in on this conversation, please give us a call at 563-999-3043. Once again, the call-in number for Westside Visions is 563-999-3043. And you're right, Brother Tony, where is the black leadership on this? You know, I read because we were able to get sort of advanced copies about this editorial, and, you know, I read it, and I was, the minute I finished reading it, I thought to myself, this editorial does not speak for me. And I'm a resident of West Fresno, and I'm saying that because, you know, some people got on the Facebook feed that posted this editorial for others to see, and said, oh, well, you know, we did, you know, people understand that they're, you know, are opposing views to, you know, the renaming of Cesar Chavez Boulevard. But the problem is that when you have a black newspaper aiming or editorial towards black residents, you figure that, yeah, you're speaking for black people. And I wanted to make it known that, no, on this one, he's, you know, he's not speaking for me. The publisher is not speaking for me.
Yeah, so, and I understand that. I understand that because we are not one monolithic group.
Right.
You know, I come from a time when I had a lot of Mexican friends in the neighborhood growing up here. Like I said, we played ball together. We hung out together. And I'm quite sure a lot of them were looking at it like, come on, man. Long as we've been working together, now y'all want to pull this stunt?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And this is what I'm saying. There, you know, this is being done, but it's not necessarily being done in the spirit of Cesar Chavez. I said that before, and I say it again. This is being done, but not necessarily being done in the spirit of Cesar Chavez. I think it would be more of a tribute to leave California as it is out of respect to the black brothers and sisters who have worked with and for Cesar and UFW than to wipe it out and, you know, say, oh, why do y'all have a problem? You know, there has to be some sort of political compromise in there, and there are people who are asking for that, and I think that we people who have a problem with this deserve to be heard, and they should leave California Avenue as it is, for as a historical type deal.
Exactly. But they have chosen to overlook that. I mean, you know, I understand that, it, you know, like they say, they met at the Edison Social Club. Well, we all know that Edison Social Club is no longer there. But, you know, you knew what the address was. You could go to that scene and put a plaque there. You could go to that scene and put a plaque there.
Exactly.
Instead of taking away from the black community, California Avenue that holds a lot of history for us.
Exactly.
Not to mention my alma mater.
Ditto. Yes. Yes. And
you know,
the black and gold of Edison runs very, very deep here. Very deep.
But you know, Sister Reed, we were talking earlier about our members of the community who have been on the city council. And you're right. There never was more than one black man or black woman in that council seat at a time. And usually when they got in that council seat, they had to make some kind of deal somewhere in order to wield what little power they had for our community.
Exactly.
And even then, it was still like we got the leftovers of what the other sections of town didn't want.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brother Bullock. Because people need to remember, it's during this time period that money was being siphoned from Southwest Fresno that according to the general plan should have been coming to Southwest Fresno. That money was being siphoned off and spent in other parts of the city. Let me say that again, folks. Money that should have been spent in Southwest Fresno was siphoned off and spent in other parts of the city. Now, imagine you're a black city council member, and, you know, there you have one vote on the city council. How are you going to fight something like that? It's damn near impossible to do. So,
exactly.
You know, so you make a very good point, brother. You make a very good point.
You know, their hands often were tied because, like you said, they only had that one vote. So they could only do so much at
right.
a certain time.
At a certain time.
And I'm
and
quite sure.
For the mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure that at certain times they made sure to pull them in three or four different directions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, right now, there is one black person on Fresno Unified School Board, and I think before Keisha Thomas, there was Mary Curry. But there was a big block of time in between there where there were no black members
exactly.
of Fresno Unified School Board.
Exactly.
So
that seems to have always been the case here. You think about, you know, going back to Yvonne Spence, okay, right quick.
Mm.
Her job as city clerk, she was the top government record keeper in the city and was responsible for preparing and distributing city council agendas, filing resolutions
right.
and ordinances, as well as other duties connected to the city. So
right.
knowing what her job was, I can guarantee you those four characters that voted against her, she saw something. Now, think about this. They ousted her, but Miguel Arias, who had charges filed against him for
right.
campaign misdoing, Esparza,
nope.
who had...
Yes. Please say it, brother, because I was just going to throw his
okay.
name in there. Go on.
Who had filings against him for campaign
right.
misdoings. Breedfield.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Absolutely.
So what exactly?
And nothing was done. They, they went to court and, you know, defended their name and all of that. Well, this sister didn't have that option because she worked for the city.
She worked for the city. They all skated.
Exactly.
They all
exactly.
skated. But Robert Smith didn't skate, though.
No, he didn't. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm not saying that what he did was not wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Robert Smith got thrown under the bus because it wasn't just him.
The more I read about it and go back and look at different things, the more I believe that what happened, that he got threw under the bus. And remember, he changed his vote about
Chavez
vote.
That's right.
Let me see who this is trying to contact us.
All right.
Thank you for calling West Side Vision. This is Brother Bullock. Who are we speaking with?
You talking to Mr. Pianchi out here in the South, in the Midwest. But,
All right, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. But I hear you
all
talking
right,
about
right
up California.
Yes, we are.
Blacks is a super minority in the population in Fresno. According to the stats, you make up about 5.9% of the population, and the schools is only 8%. So that's areas you don't have much leverage there, do you?
Well, you are absolutely correct. Now, as far as schools go, the numbers have moved up a little bit. But, no, you're right. Those stats are kind of old, but you're pretty much on top of it.
These are 21 and 22. And, you know, in Kansas City, Missouri, a street that was named Martin Luther King, they changed it from Truce to King. And the people changed it back to Truce. They took down King's name off of the street. And
I think it's important to if the population wanted that change, then good for them.
That's what I'm saying. If the population wants that, then that's what they're going to have. They're going to change the name of buildings and everything else.
Oh yeah. We know that's how it works. But So what led to the name change there from in Kansas City?
Well, you can say the population change, but you have Blackfields agreeing upon it also. It was named Truth, T-R-O-S-T, before they named it the King, and then they changed it back to Truth. Matter of fact, they had an election. They had an election in the city, and they chose to do it.
Wow.
So that's the way it went down.
There wasn't an election here in Fresno.
You
this,
did?
This was decided by four Latino city council members, and there was no consultation about. I think part of the problem is that people have to understand we've got an MLK Boulevard in Fresno as well. It runs for 2 miles. The name change that they want to do here in Fresno will run for over 10 miles, and it will be changing three different streets. One of those streets leads up to a national park. So there are people on both sides who have problems. I mean, you know, there are people who are for this name change, and there are people who are against this name change. And the people who are against it are not just black people. There are a lot of Latinos who are against it, too.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the diverse feeling. And I've seen those sort of things.
The other side of the coin is the Hispanic council members who voted for this name change are saying they did it because it should have been done 30 years ago, and they voted no against it 30 years ago. So we're just correcting the mistake they made 30 years ago.
Well, people will make those sayings. You know, they're in Baton Rouge. They changed one school that was named after Robert E. Lee to some neutral name, but the street is still named Lee Boulevard. They didn't change that. But hey, that's the way things happen.
What I'm saying is, here, you want to do a name change, then you need to do things correctly. Now, here in California, in Fresno, they were supposed to have community meetings. They were supposed to meet with people in the community and talk about this name change instead of just getting behind closed doors and saying, well, you know what? 30 years ago, we didn't get our way, and we didn't have enough Hispanics on city council. It was all white guys except for one black guy, and now we got the numbers. We're going to change it to what we want it to be.
Well, St. Louis named a street that was named Del Mar, and they didn't change the name. They took a little sign with Obama's name on it and put it underneath the name that the street was all along. And they do things, it's called a sub name. They do that because sometime in the future they can just take it down. I mean, whoever the city coffers it. Like in Chicago, they just had a mayoral race. And I'm surprised as hell that this guy, this black candidate won, Brandon, because Chicago is almost majority Hispanic. So this may be the last time. And this guy is heavily...
Well, yeah, and but he's also very progressive. And right now, progressives seem to sway a lot of people. And from what I understand, he's very progressive.
Yeah, but he's a sanctuary city. He's with the school teachers union. He don't want parents to have school choice where they put their children where they want to. That there is captivating, I would ask it.
Well,
yeah,
so he calls himself a progressive, so that's what they do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's political. That's politics right there. Yes. Anyway, I'll let you get back to yourself.
Exactly. You just said it. It's politics.
Well,
it's kind of like trying to make a deal with the devil. But what happens when you make a deal with the devil? Never comes out the way you expect it to.
No,
you got that right.
Getting burned. Well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having the show. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
So, you know, one thing that I should have said when the brother was on the line, but I didn't get a chance to say it, was the fact that we've always had small numbers here in Fresno. Always.
Well, yeah, we have.
Now, those numbers.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, we've always had small numbers. Now, the small numbers were concentrated in one area at one time in West Fresno, but the numbers have always been small. So what has eroded the political power and clout of Black people in Fresno? And, you know, Brother Tony, we talked about this quite a bit over the years, and Reverend Harris is one brother that talks about this often, about all the Black businesses that we used to have in West Fresno and what happened to them. You know, that was part of our clout and our power, and those businesses are now gone, and, you know, we can attribute that to redevelopment or rezoning.
Yes,
I was just about to say that.
The West Fresno Redevelopment Company.
Yes.
That forest of a lot was told by the city of Fresno under the guise of, well, we're going to have the West Fresno Redevelopment come through, and we're going to change things and make it for the better. And to this day, when I come to the west side, those same fields that were emptied after they came through and took away and knocked down the businesses and homes that were there before, those lots are still empty.
So exactly.
That money,
so West Fresno,
that money disappeared into the nether regions, to the other side of town.
Right. So West Fresno was gutted of its Black businesses and left to flounder for years. Now, I understand that there's now an organization that's supposed to be fostering home ownership in Southwest Fresno. You know, they've got like $1 million set aside to help first-time home buyers and things like that. And I find it interesting, Brother Tony, because what we're talking about, what you and I have talked about on the show tonight, is the fact that on one hand, you've got the gentrification of West Fresno. You've got this campus being built. You've got these apartments being built. You've got high-speed rail coming in. So you've got that. And on the other side, you've got what we talked about in one of our previous shows about Amazon packing warehouse. And we've got a Coca-Cola, Reyes Coca-Cola bottling company being put on the west side. So you've got gentrification on one hand, you've got reindustrialization on the other hand. And I'm trying to figure out
about our Starbucks.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Brother Tony. Tell it now. Starbucks.
Let's not forget about our Starbucks, because we got to have our coffee. We must have our coffee.
Right. That's right. Don't want to have to drive over to Tuolumne or O Street or whatever to the Starbucks over there. No, 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 no. We got to have it closer to the campus for the staff and the faculty and the students at the satellite campus. But nobody's talking about what the quality of life is going to be for people who live in older homes like mine. I live in my parents' house, which was previously, their house, the house I grew up in. But what's going to happen to them? The whole demographics of West Fresno is changing. I understand that I'm all about cheering for diversity. What I'm not happy about is wiping out everything that existed culturally before. That is the problem that I have.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's, you know what, I look at it as, and I know people are going to say this is overkill coming from me, but I look at it as a Martin Day Trail of Tears.
See? Tell it now, brother.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. I sit here every day, and I get pissed off whenever I think about what happened. Why?
See?
Because where Gaston sits, that was my neighborhood.
Yes.
But a campaign of war from the Fresno City Police Department, led by now Mayor Jerry Dyer when he was police chief, caused my neighborhood to be destroyed.
see.
They let builders come in there and buy up that property after they ran everybody out.
Right.
And then made a deal with the city so they could build Gaston and, of course, get a kickback.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there was that
too. And that's what's going to happen. You talk about what's going to happen, it's going to be a modern-day Trail of Tears. Everything that we know over there now, the West Gates, the Hinton Center, what was Pearly Grove, all of that.
Yes.
Getting ready to be bought out, sold out, taken away, so that they could come in with those lofts and whatever else they need to make it look right. Now, they're going to let two or three folks stay there.
Yes, maybe.
We didn't run everybody out of the community. Look, there's one now.
Yep.
See,
I'm sure you're right, brother. That's how it's going to be. And
then,
what?
And they're not going to stop there.
So succinctly about the Trail of Tears. That's good. That's a good way to put it.
They're not going to stop there. See, the bottom line is to make it. That's why you got a big portrait of Cesar Chavez on the administration building at Edison now, thanks to their historic principal. See, that one tiger mini stripes madness, that don't work with me. I'm from black and gold soul.
See. Well, they're definitely trying to wipe all that out. And, you know, listeners, understand, we are not talking about trying to stop progress. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about honoring what has already happened, the history of West Fresno. And I don't see anybody talking about putting up a cultural center. I don't see anybody talking about building a youth park over here on safe ground, not like Hyde Park that is built on a dumping ground. I don't see anybody talking about anything that's going to build up black culture in this part of the city. And why is that? If you throw it around $150 million, you should be able to throw some into something like that. You know,
exactly.
bringing a bank branch to Southwest, to West Fresno. What about that? You know, there's a lot of things that need to be done over here, but they need to listen to the residents that live over here, including the senior citizens that live in this part of the city, because I don't think they're being listened to at all. I really don't.
No, they're not.
But I really like that you phrased that, Brother Tony, West Side Trail of Tears. I got to remember that.
Because that's what it's going to become. Miguel Arias, who sits as the leader of District 3, you are turning a blind eye to what's happening to the people in District 3. Better yet, the black people that's living in District 3. You're failing them, and you're failing them on purpose.
Yep.
And that is shameful. It is shameful, sir.
See.
And I know this will get back to you, but I don't care, because it's true.
You're
supposed to be a representative for all. Not some, not a few, not a chosen selection.
See.
Many black folks voted for you. You therefore should be an honest voice for them.
Uh-huh. This is true. This is true. Let's exactly, Brother Tony, let's celebrate diversity by being there for everybody, for representing everybody. The things that are happening in Southwest Fresno, I understand some people might call it progress. I have to go along with Brother Tony about it being a West Side Trail of Tears, because the things that you are replacing, you're not acknowledging, you're not trying to put something else in its place, going to acknowledge the culture. And we've always had small numbers here in Fresno as black people, but those were mighty numbers. And we let our greatness and our excellence be known. Just look at all the great alums that have come out of Edison High School. And I mean Edison High School. I don't mean Edison Computech. So,
you know, which is why they fight so hard to destroy what we built, because they know the history.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is they're afraid that it could be that powerful one more again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know I'm speaking Ebonics tonight, but there's a reason why.
Well,
so my shout out to teachers like Charles Smoky Hall,
yes,
Cecil Smith, Michael Harris,
Trotter. Michael Harris, Trotter.
And I know we had our issues from time to time, but he stood for us.
Cecil Smith. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Aha Janie.
Yes. Bill Clark.
Coach Bill Clark. Coach.
Exactly.
Man, look here. Coach Bill Stewart.
Yes, indeed.
Penny Marigan.
Yes, indeed. That's right.
Mickey Mustafa.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Penny Marigan. Michael Harris.
Michael Harris, my Uncle Joe Baldwin,
yeah,
who rolled the janitorial staff. Look here, we had a janitorial staff that was so gangster and kept us in line. We learned more from them than some of them teachers.
Yes, and they looked out for us like they were parents.
And see, that was the beauty of the school we went to. At Edison,
yes,
when you walked into that office, look here. And you know why I'm laughing. You know why I'm laughing.
Yes,
because some of our closest friends, their mothers worked in that office.
Hello.
And
like
not only did they deal with their children, they dealt with us too, because they would check us in a minute.
Like Mrs. Graves, that's right. Shay.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The yes, indeedy. So, you know, when we talk about Edison, it's not just about the nostalgia. We're talking about people who loved and cared about us and taught us well, taught us to have pride in ourselves.
Indeed.
It's no mistake that we're talking about, you know, talking about Edison and talking about West Fresno the way we talk about it, because they helped, along with our parents, helped to build up that pride in us. I mean, my goodness, where would we be? Small numbers, didn't matter. Didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
We had each other. And hopefully we still will, you know, as this thing continues with the name change and all of that.
We had one of the coolest, hippest band teachers in America who was an aviation expert. And that was Mr. Stanley McDonald.
That's right, the father of superstar Audra McDonald.
Thank you very much.
Superstar. Yes. Yes. Broadway phenomenon. Actress extraordinaire Audra McDonald was born and raised in Fresno. Yes. Yes.
I laugh because you know how we used to get, you know, people, Edison ain't got this, they ain't got that. We have more than people realize.
Exactly. Exactly.
My drama coach, Cheryl Vermillion. Cheryl Vermillion used to take us on field trips to see the opera and to see plays in San Francisco, sometimes money out of her own pocket. Now, Cheryl, before she came there, she did the soap operas. When she left, she went back to the soap operas. Cheryl Vermillion was a cold piece of work.
See? But she loved her students, and she showed it.
But she loved her students.
And this is, yes. You know, for people who don't understand the West Side, you should, because this is not just about us. Like Brother Tony said, we went to school with Latinos, and they lived on our blocks. Okay, they were our neighbors. And so it is not like this has to be a war between black and brown people. It really does not. It just calls for people understanding where we're coming from as well as looking at it from the other side. So I know that there's a solution to this particular problem, but it's all about the politics, Brother Tony, which you were saying earlier. So
it is exactly about the politics. And, you know, that's it right there. You said it very, 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 very good. Our Hispanic brothers and sisters, they grew up with us. Lucas Gordon,
mm-hmm.
Chris Dallas, Margaret Pena, Alfredo De Leon, all these cats,
exactly.
They grew up with us.
Alfredo's
and we all hung together, played ball together.
Alfredo's
played
mom
ball together,
grew up two
together.
Houses down from me right now, Tony.
Exactly. Ate at each other's house,
yeah.
Homes.
Exactly.
So we know that those in the neighborhood with us, we know where they stand. We know they know where we stand. We all stand together. And that's
exactly.
All we want from our city council members. Miguel Arias, nobody's trying to put you down, but what we want from you is honest representation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Luis Chavez,
right.
All the folks in your district is honest representation.
Exactly.
Esparza, all they want is honest representation.
Because those were some of the folks who were in opposition to the name change, and they were Latino. So, come on.
Yeah, they were.
You know.
Yeah, they were.
Yes.
People just want honest representation. Let's not make this about skin color. And let's not make this about who got and who don't have.
Exactly.
Fresno needs to stop selling itself out to builders. It needs to stop selling themselves out to big-time farms and corporations.
Tell it.
I read some stuff back in the day that happened here in the 90s where some folks ended up going to jail making deals with developers.
Hello.
And
Operation
we all know
Zone.
That's nothing new for people on the city council and in the city of Fresno. And I'm quite sure for some of them it's still happening.
It's probably still happening, yep. But you know what? This is one of the reasons why myself, Brother Tony, like-minded people like us are always telling folks, register to vote. Vote. It is so easy now to register to vote. It's easier now to vote than it is to do most anything else. You know, you can do this. You can vote for people. You can vote people in and you can vote people out. You can vote them in and you can vote them out. So we have to be proactive about politicians because they haven't proved that they care anything about any of us. Not really. They're doing what's in their best interest, and we need to take back the city and do something about it.
You are absolutely correct. Like I was saying earlier, you know, yes, Miguel Arias won his seat in 2022. And by all rights and purposes, he can be there till 2027. But there is a thing known as RECALL.
That's right.
Now keep playing.
See.
Keep not representing folks the way you should. Don't think that it cannot happen.
That's right. It can happen. It can happen. And
Pastor
it can
Floyd
happen.
Harris, I'm going to need to hear from you. Pastor Teddy Lewis, I'm going to need to hear from you.
See? Yes.
Mr. Reed, you got anything else you want to throw out at them tonight?
No, Brother Bullock. I have exhausted myself talking about this particular thing, but, you know, I do it because I am passionate about West Fresno and saying what we need to say on West Side Vision. So I'm cool. The only thing that I want to say in parting is that we want people to stay black until we get back with you. When I say stay black, I am talking about with a free mind, a black mindset. Think about your brothers and your sisters and not just yourself. So stay black until we get back with you. Brother Tony.
Amen, my sister, amen. Now, realize what she just said. Stay black till you get back. Okay? And when she said it's all about freeing your mind, and the rest will follow. Come on, y'all. Let's get it together.
That's right.
I'm going to say what I always say. Woo, Lord Jesus. What a show. What a, you know, I'm going to just be honest. This show tonight, yeah, made me feel some kind of way.
See? Yes.
Maybe
I'm
feel
right
some
there
kind
with
of way.
Brother. Yes.
You know, it's sad that we reach a point to where we feel like we've beaten our head up against the wall. But at some point, somebody got to start listening. So I'm going to say what I always say. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range, get them trained up, get them certified, get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. And I really mean that. It is time to start watching folks who are watching us. Take care of your loved ones. Do not let it become a West Side Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
There are many of you. You may not live on the West Side now, but you have relatives who are still on the West Side. We need to defend their homes. We need to make sure that they are getting a fair deal.
That's right.
It is time for y'all to stand up. It is time for y'all to stand up. My shout out to my folks over at 806 Collins, over at Fame, Social Justice Church that does a lot for the community. Remember that they do COVID testing and they do a food giveaway every Thursday starting at 11 a.m. Y'all make sure to get over there. Make a donation. Speak to somebody. Help somebody out. Everybody hang in. Stay tight. Stay right. We'll holler.